should be thankful for that. One such person, Dr. Bryn Brown, is a PhD from the University of Houston on the faculty there. And she's been on CNN programs, National Public Radio. And she's dedicated herself to studying guilt and shame. Okay, two things that the paralytic who was brought to Jesus had to deal with in his own life, and of course everybody else who was there. And Dr. Brown says this: we tell ourselves three lies when we deal with the questions of guilt and shame. Okay, guilt is from what I did or failed to do. That's guilt. Shame is, well, I'm ashamed of myself, who I am. That's kind of a deeper thing, and God can reach out to both of those problems. Well, Dr. Brown says this: we tell each other ourselves three lies when it comes to hiding guilt and shame. Lie number one: I am not broken. I am okay. If we say that before God, we're not meeting Him. Number two: I can do life on my own. It's real popular, but it's not true. Number three: I have moral superiority to others. Okay, that's also a lie, which a lot of people who are in church life are susceptible to. If Dr. Brown was a Bible teacher, she would say this: those are three trees that people try to hide behind, or Adam and Eve tried to hide behind, once they rebelled against God. I am not broken. I can do life on my own. I have moral superiority, at least to my spouse or to the devil. And the paralyzed man who was brought to Jesus would preach against those three things because he knew he was broken. He knew he couldn't do life on his own. He had at least four friends who brought him to Christ. He had five friends. Christ, the biggest friend, which you and I need. And he knew he had a moral problem. Jesus would bring that up to him. And so the paralyzed man, he feels like his biggest need is to walk. That's the miracle he really needs. And his friends take him to Jesus. He needs healed. And sometimes we come to God thinking, if he would just help me in this part of my life, or this broken part of my, you know, body's out of whack, or my thinking's out of line, if he would just help me with that, it would be okay. And then God starts talking about forgiveness. And he throws us off, but he wants to set us free by talking to us about that. And one lesson we can learn from the paralytic and his friends: when you see somebody in trouble, could you take them to Christ in some manner? Could you take them to Christ by praying for them? That's a good thing to do. Can you take them to Christ by inviting them to church? You know, I want to just put you before where I know the Lord will be. Or can you take them to Christ by sharing what the Lord means to you? If I'm in trouble, please take me to Christ. Knock a hole in a roof if you have to. Dig through the roof, the passage said, but get me there. And God will do the work. Charles Spurgeon said this about the passage and about these guys who brought their friend in: can we attempt some daring act this week for the love of people and for the glory of God? Don't know what that might be, but God will surprise you with the opportunity. You know, some daring act. Bring the friend and say, God can help you. At least through prayers. And so the man's paralyzed. Jesus says to the man, son, your sins are forgiven. And Jesus loves this man right from the bat, right from the start. Son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. I'm sure the man was thankful, but I'm sure he's thinking, I need to walk. I can't walk. Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven. The ones who knew their Bibles the most also responded not well to Jesus' proclamation. They started to say, what is he talking about? He cannot do this. Who does Jesus think he is? Does he think he's God? Well, is he? Oh, is he God? Yes, he is. God the Son. Jesus said, why are you thinking these ways? Which is easier, to deal with the sin that is there, or to help you in your broken condition, your hurting body or mind? He said, to show you I have authority over these things, authority to forgive sins, he says to the man, take up your mat and walk. And the man does it. Interesting. Same words Jesus used when he heals a man in John chapter 5. I don't know if you remember the man who was paralyzed for 38 years. You and I, we probably have, if we're that old, we probably have some kind of problem with life or the Lord. I've had this for 38 years. Jesus says, take up your mat and walk. Once we meet Christ, we don't need that temporary comfort anymore. Okay, we have Him. We have Him. And we can go with Him. And everybody says when Jesus heals this man, we've never seen anything like this. And to honor the Lord in the passage, if we're brought to Him this morning by God Himself or friends, honor the Lord. He knows, first of all, what we're thinking. He knew the people's thoughts back then. We can bring them before God. He can align them to where He has the world being. We can know He has the authority to forgive sins. That's our big need in our soul. And He has the authority to heal us. Interesting, in the passage, the paralyzed man nor his friends, at least recorded, they did not ask for the healing with a certain prayer. Okay, a lot of Christians think that, well, you have to pray this way and you have to say it this way for God to do this. No, you don't need a right formula. You just need the right Lord. Okay. The paralyzed man said, he didn't say nothing. Jesus said, you're forgiven. Jesus said, take up your mat and walk. And Jesus deals with the number one problem first, the sin problem. And that's something I think God wants us to have our souls be set free about, even if we've known Him for a long time. Lloyd Ogilvie comments on the passage, forgiveness is the more difficult and more essential of the two actions of Jesus for this dear man. And when somebody's hurting, we pray for God to help the need, but also help their relationship with God. Forgiveness is forever. What a wonderful gift. God would forgive us past, present, and future because of the great sacrifice of Jesus. We've been loved. We are loved. And healing is temporal. Temporal means till you're about 100. Okay? If you live that long. And so forgiveness, the gift God wants us to have. Billy Graham said this about the forgiveness. In one bold action, forgiveness obliterates the past and permits us to enter the land of new beginnings. I came to church, I was hurting here, and I was hurting there, and I couldn't even walk. And the first thing that Jesus did, He made me right with Him. And I had peace with Him. And then He gave me help in the area that I needed. Forgiveness, the essential work, the forever work. In the story, you might ask yourself, when you hear this story about the paralytic, are you more excited about him being forgiven, or are you more excited about him walking out with his mat? I have to say, I was excited about the mat thing. You know, I'm glad about that. Jesus first dealt with what was first, the forgiveness that would set him free. And it was the focus of Jesus' ministry. One evangelist said this. He said, oh, to find a Christian with a sin problem. Oh, to find a Christian with a sin problem. So that you and I might hear Jesus say to our soul, son, your sins are forgiven. Daughter, your sins are forgiven. What are the signs maybe that we forgot that Jesus forgives sins both at the cross and also helps us walk in that forgiveness on a daily basis? Here's a few that are fairly common to people who know Christ, and maybe those yet to receive Him. One signal you forgot about the forgiveness Jesus brings, putting yourself down frequently, looking at yourself as much less than others around you, saying things like, I'm clumsy, I'm stupid, I'm incompetent, no one loves me. Well, believe God. He said, son, your sins are forgiven. You're welcome, like Jesus is welcome in God's presence. Second one, kind of the opposite thing, a sense of spiritual superiority. Hey, What are you talking about forgiveness for? I tithe, I pray, I go to church, I do. I'm trying to do the best I can. And this is called the pastor's illness. Okay, sense of spiritual superiority. If we play Bible Jeopardy at my house, I clear the board within 3 seconds, and my family, they hate me about that. Only because they're thinking, well, you know that, but we don't always see you walking that way. Okay, so watch out for that spiritual superiority. We forget the forgiveness. Lack of assurance of salvation often is a signal we've forgot about the forgiveness as a gift. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? How do you get to heaven? Well, I hope I get to heaven. I think I'm going to heaven. I do the right thing. I must be going to heaven. Jesus would say, hey, your sins are forgiven. I'm your Savior. Rejoice in that alone. Interesting. I did a little practice on Google trying to understand that creation. And I typed in the question, how does this person get to heaven? And I filled in the blank, this person, with different categories of faiths out there. How does a Mormon say you get to heaven? How does a Muslim say you get to heaven? How does a Christian say you get to heaven? Interesting, the responses. Now you do that at home and you see what comes up. Christ, Savior, Lord. Who can do that but God? The people said. Assurance of salvation. Often lack of gratitude also shows we forget forgiveness. We have grace upon grace. So beware of the unconfessed sin. It makes us a paralytic. We become helpless. We end up not enjoying life or God's power in our life. And so to give us some good news about forgiveness. We need forgiveness to walk with Christ. This is what the paralytic experienced. First forgiveness, then healing. You and I, when we get forgiven, all of a sudden we want to follow Christ. When we taste that and know the goodness of that, we say, oh Lord, thank you for your mercy and grace. How can I obey you? In fact, I can't think of anybody in the Bible, can you, who walked with God without being forgiven first. Can you think of anybody? I can't. I can think of a lot of people who didn't walk with God because they blew off the forgiveness thing. Blah, forgiveness, what is it? Forgiveness allowed them to walk with God. Forgiveness fueled their obedience. In fact, it was, again, impossible to obey God without knowing they were at peace with Him. So for your soul and my soul, man, to love to walk with Christ, pick up that mat and say, this is what the Lord did for me. Some promises God gives us. He maintains love to thousands, forgiving wickedness. Okay, forgives us at our worst. Wednesday, we looked at a bunch of hymns that describe forgiveness. Actually, it was at the elders' meeting. It said, when we're defiled, when we're not right with God, then He brings that to us. He maintains that love to us. Psalm 86, Lord, you are good, ready to forgive. God's always more ready to forgive than we're ready to ask. You've probably experienced that in some of your key relationships, as parents. Come on, I want my children to know I love them. And yet they're running away from me. Get back, come back and know my love. That's what the Lord tells us. Forget not all His benefits. In Psalm 103, King David lists about 10 benefits from God. First on the list, He forgives all our sins. Last on the list, He removes our sins as far as east is from the west. Something about that gets us free, that gets us very, very glad about God, merciful to others and ourselves. Glad about God. Merciful to others and ourselves. Here's a good practice for you to do. When you find yourself attacking other people, just tell yourself this. Let's say you say, right, Joe should be doing this and Mary doesn't do that. And what you should tell yourself is this. Why am I being so hard on myself? What do you mean hard on myself? I'm being hard on Joe and Mary. No. You're being hard on yourself because the Bible says when you attack others, that shows that your soul is messed up. Okay? The plank is there. Jesus said, let me take that out for you. Forgetting on all His benefits, He forgives our sins. God says, I'll remember your sins no more. What love. The prayer Jesus prays for us and for all, you know, the people yet to receive Him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Again, the forgiveness came first. The obedience followed. And I love this one, Acts 5. Jesus would be preached that God might give, what, repentance and forgiveness of sins. A lot of times we think this, I'm going to clean my act up and I'm going to convince God that I'm right with Him and then He'll forgive me. That's backwards. We'll never make it that way. Say, I need the forgiveness of God. From that I can change because my heart will be set free. My chains will fall off. My heart will be free. I'll rise, go forth, and follow God. And then no condemnation for those who are in Christ. What a gift of God. To be forgiven. You know, as we desire to follow Christ in obedience and repentance, might you hear Him say to you and I, son, your sins are forgiven. Have the freedom that I came to bring you. Deliverance from the sense of guilt, sense of shame. Debt canceled. Alienation removed as far as east is from the west. Accepted in the beloved. But what it did for people. You know, think of what it did for Paul. He was a hater of Christ. He became a lover of Christ. The forgiveness of sins did that for him. Peter, cowardly to courageous. Forgiveness of sins did that for him. And God can do that the same for us. Might we turn to Him? We're going to have a quiet time of hearing some testimonies of songwriters that talked about the impact of forgiveness in their life. Would you bow with me in quietness, please? Charles Wesley would write this, God breaks the power of canceled sin, sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. And that's your testimony in my autobiography, as it were. Christ setting us free, making us clean, so we could live clean. And then Horatio Spafford came with brokenness to God and yet wrote this, my sin not in part but the whole is nailed to the cross, I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. O Lord, for each day us to be able to say it's well with my soul because of what Jesus did for me. And then A.B. Simpson, he just loved to see people come to Christ. He wrote these words, Jesus only is our Savior. All our guilt He bore away. All our righteousness He gives us. All our strength from day to day. And Father, as we just pray silently before You, I pray, Father, things that hold us back in our soul would be put before You, and we might know the wonderful forgiveness of Christ, that You would offer that, Jesus, because You accomplished that at the cross. And we might have the fuel and the thankfulness to obey and walk in Your ways. Hear our silent prayers as You set us free in the aspects of our soul that really need the touch of Your hand. Hear our silent prayers.